Waves and World, it's your boy Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada, but my heart is always in Houston, Texas. I'm in here with my two guys. We're going to start with my OG. He's been with me since the beginning on the Waves and World. He's the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. We missed you yesterday. What's good, Spreads? How are you?
Man, I'm glad to be back, and we got an exciting night of football to talk about last night in both the college and the pro world. It's, fun night of football to watch, and we get football every single night now until November 27th.
Yes, sir. 55 nights. That's the name of the mixtape. And also, I got my YG in here. You know, me and him love to go head to head and talk about these games. Hey, we've been doing this forever, man. I love it when the pupil becomes the master, man. What's good to the youngest kid I know to ever run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip? What's good, Casino Royale?
Wow, what's good, Five Star? What's up, Wade Jerome? What's up, Spread? We missed you. No lie. I was picking with Brother Man over there, and he texted me. He said, hey, look, bro. He said, you got on me. He said, but you didn't remind me about that Miami, that Virginia Tech. I say, oh, you're right. I had to get on you on that because, it's part of the show, bro, man, and make it fun. But yeah, I see you got them glasses fixed. I see you got a whole new set of glasses.
I had these forever, man. I put these glasses on because I'm the hardest working man in sports. So I got bags under my eyes. I've been up since all day yesterday to 4 a.m., worked out, did all that bit, and then had to pop right back up at 6:30 a.m., 2 hours of sleep, and go do the bitch, you know, in Houston on the radio. So that's why I got these glasses. These are Tom Ford's. I had these Tom Ford's about a decade, man. I've had these a long time. I had to throw them on. I got to hide these bags, man. I'm tired, man, honestly, but I'm about to get on your ass. You know that. I got to get on you real quick just simply because, like I said, I've been working hard. As you know, I'm doing that movie script.
It slipped your mind.
I'm studying. It's so much going on, bro. I'm probably get like 4 hours of sleep. So I was tired yesterday when you hit me with that quick one. You know, using my wits are quicker than that. And you got me. You told everybody about the game that you got me on, which is true. Oklahoma State of Kansas State. But boy, you forgot all about Miami. I say, boy, hey. I forgot all about how you said Virginia Tech didn't have a chance against Miami.
Y'all damn near money line me. It's cool though, bro. It's cool though. We got lucky though, man. We got lucky. Let's move on to the game last night.
Nah, you want to move on. Man, just on the serious tip that we love just kicking with each other. This has been my little brother, man. We've been kicking this all many years, bro. Man, this dude go back about 15, 20 years, bro. We've been rocking tough. You know, we've lived two different lives together, man, and we really enjoy being able to come on here together and give you guys the information that we obtained from doing this for so many years, bro. And we really enjoy you guys being part of the Waves of World. You guys hit that like button right now. If you're in here, we appreciate you guys. How the likes are going up. We appreciate your comments. I just appreciate interacting with all of you guys in the Waves of World. As always, do this for the underground and underdog. It's always us versus the machine. Just real briefly before we get into the past, Spread, did you see anything about the player rep from Bengals, Ted Karras? He was talking about the new media policy he's trying to implement that'll protect the sanctity of the locker room for NFL players. You see anything about that?
No, I haven't. Fill me in real quick.
What about you, Sino?
Neither did I. Fill me in.
Bro, we sometimes forget because these guys are making so much money, this is really a barbaric profession. The media is still allowed, females, male, it doesn't matter. You don't know who's a weirdo. You don't know who's watching you. So walk into the locker room while these guys are showering. Think about that. They're still walking around naked in front of these women reporters, in front of these weirdo guy reporters. And they're interviewing these dudes still naked. It's 2024. Like, what happened to, like, you know, Me Too and protect people and all this? I thought we were in that era of the world, but it seems no one ever remembers that when it comes to men. This is kind of foul, man, if you think about it. It's kind of outdated, man. You got Mina Kimes falling up in the locker room, and you know, Justin Jefferson just got out the shower. You know, and they just get a chance to look at him and keep it moving, get a free peek. You know, it's some changes that are about to go on that, and I think it's long overdue.
Well, I'll have to keep abreast of that, and I agree with you. You know, there's a reason we have the press conferences, and I'd rather see the guys all fitted up. We don't need to be actually be in the locker room. That's kind of a bygone days when the reporters kind of acted like a team mouthpiece. But, I mean, we're going back to the 50s when, right? I mean, this is the only access you really had to the team. Nowadays, it's completely unnecessary. I mean, these guys hold press conferences of their own on Instagram Live. So it's not like we need this.
Disrespectful, man. This is disrespectful as hell. I didn't realize until I saw him tweet that one of my guys actually tweeted a good friend of the show. And I looked at it, I read it. I said, what the hell? Cito, they're still in the locker room looking at me.
So, bro. Hold up, because I really never thought of it like that. So, all right. So, you mean to tell me the women reporters, right after the game, they can go back there right after the ball's taking the shower?
Yes.
The men taking the shower.
Interview all right. You. Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm a man, right? Now, let's say I'm not married, so it's none of that. See no single. All right. Let's say I'm one of them professional football players, and that reporter come back there, and I'm a man. And she be looking at me. What you expect? Why you back here? Why you back here? Like, now I'm in trouble. Like,
can men go inside the WNBA locker room?
No.
Real will?
Nah, bro. Nah.
Yeah, it's time for us to move on from that. That's kind of treating athletes like pieces of meat. I don't like that at all. So I agree all the way with Ted Karras. Best of luck with that. I think that it's time to stop that. We're too far ahead as a culture and as a society to still allow just because these guys are paid money to be treated like they're meat, you know, and you just walk around and look at them. I don't like that at all. So I just had to touch base on that. Let's jump in the past.
Plenty of stuff went on in the world, but let's start with that most exciting game that we saw last night. Finally, the first Thursday night game to go over, and I think it was over by almost halftime. as we got an exciting one down there, five-star, we texted a little bit on Wednesday when I wasn't able to make the show. And I told you I was leaning Tampa, and you kind of talked me off getting involved, and I appreciate you for that. What did you see when you watched that game last night?
Kirk Cousins, man. Kirk Cousins is just a really good quarterback, man, and we've known it for a long time. I was worried about him because the protection wasn't holding up initially for him. So with the protection not holding up as it should have, he was having to deal with a lot of pressure around his legs and stuff. You know, he's coming off a knee injury. So I know that, you know, it was had to be in his head. You know, he had a little PTSD about the injury that he had in Minnesota. But we know that Kirk Cousins is a pro's pro. He has 15 game winning drives since 2021. That's the most in the league. He seems to always be in these crazy type of games that's coming right down to the wire. I'm just glad that Falcons got the ball back. It was 4th-and-15, and people are already ready to tweet out, this is classic Kirk Cousins. This is Kirk Cousins' prime time. And the guy had thrown for 500 yards. It was 4th-and-15. He was just trying to make a play. So sometimes bettors and people who cover the game, reporters and media and stuff, they take a something that someone has said and just run with it, and they overdo it. And it's kind of an old narrative about Kirk Cousins with the prime time stuff. I bet him in prime time 3 times this year already. So I don't know how people are coming up to that conclusion. It's a team game. It isn't just about him. Raheem Morris, once again, tried to do everything he could to lose the game for us, but somehow the Falcons with their talent still get it done, man. The Falcons are a really talented team. Darren Mooney is really becoming a big weapon for them. And also now with the concussion happening to Drake London, I think that he gets a bigger part in this offense. We know that Cousins has always been the guy to spread the ball around. We had a Kyle Pitts showing finally. Salute to Baker Mayfield. He played really well. Shout out to the homie, Mike Evans as well. Hall of Fame career, you know, another great performance for him in prime time and, you know, Cannon awaits him. But overall, just happy that the cap ended up going our way. Really, really, really tough game, but really glad that we came out on the right side. Me and Cino were texting the entire game.
Yeah, that game was nuts, bro. Nuts. And this guy right here, I keep trying to tell him, I'm like, bro, this is the WWE. It's going to get entertaining. Watch. He like, I can't watch no more. We lost. I can't watch no more. He texted me. He say, hey, they kneeling? I'm like, I ain't about to text him back. Just watch this. And like he said, man, Kirk tried to make a bomb. I don't think he even seen that five-star. I think he got sacked. He had probably lost like 12 or 13 yards or something of that nature. And I'm scratching my head. But when they got that first down, I already knew what it was. I thought we was going to win by a field goal. I didn't think they was about to go, you know, in overtime and go straight and getting. I didn't think that was going to happen like that. They covered the 2.5. They covered the money line. I got blasted on the under, but, hey, we split, and you gave out a 2.5, so they should have profited, man. All good in that game.
All good.
One thing you mentioned, and that's something to be careful of when you're watching these shows. So they'll say Kirk Cousins in primetime, right? And they'll say he's what, 4-11. Mm-hmm. What they don't mention is that he's 3-1 in his last four. Right. So either side can cherry pick that stat. So make sure you don't get too involved in those trends. Make sure you follow your handicap.
And he wasn't stopping the run either. You know, he wasn't the linebacker. He wasn't the D tackle. Like, this is a team game. And that's why I was saying, you wasn't on here last show.
Spread. I listened to it on Thursday morning.
Yeah, about how quarterback, it's important that a quarterback has to distribute. He has to be a point guard because you're going to get all of the media presses the quarterback anyway, whether you good or bad. If you guys are winning, you're going to get the press in a good way. If you lose, you're going to get all the blame. That's why it's very important to be selfless as a quarterback. And I think Cousins is one of those perfect examples, a true point guard at a quarterback that distributes to everybody and gets everyone involved in the game.
Hey, I know the Atlanta fans were pissed. Man, they was leaving. It was over. They thought the game was over. And when you watch overtime, if you go back and watch some highlights or anything, you like see the stadium was completely empty. And for Kirk and Boss to win that game like that, I know they was pissed. You spend your money and that's why you got to ride it out. It's not over till it's over.
It ain't over till the fat lady sing.
For real.
All right. So I didn't see this one. Oh, I think one of the drawbacks of Prime Five Star, you know I love my multi-box on YouTube TV. I'm not able to use it, and I was at my girlfriend's house, so I only had one TV going, felt kind of primitive.
Oh, we have only to talk off TV. Air, Spread.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Yeah, we will.
But I didn't see what happened in Texas State, but I did see a lot of people tweeting about it. Tell me what went on there.
Complete dominance, went exactly like we wanted it. We gave it out on the show on Wednesday. We gave it out on Jay Money Show yesterday. I gave it out to anyone who would listen, man, this was the layup of the day. And all I asked people to do was not to jank me. Just come in with good energy and come in with all your money. You're going to win. And it went just that way, man, because Texas State is just a really good offensive team. Jordan McCloud actually didn't play as well as he usually plays. He wasn't that sharp. It was a weird game if you watched it. Did you watch it in the casino?
Bro, I watched the whole game from start to finish.
It was so weird, wasn't it? It was a weird game.
Me and my clients were texting. Bro, I had the biggest play yesterday, a royal play. I had the under. I had under 57, bro. They scored 55, bro.
I'll let you tell him what he did.
Bro, in play, bro, in play got to 70.5. Oh, man. So last week, long story short, last week Boise had a game. Same exact situation as this one. Like, bro, you up. You damn near up by 4 or 5 touchdowns. What are you doing? You got a minute left. They trying to score a touchdown.
They've done it. Notre Dame has done it. Coach Prime in Colorado has done it. These coaches aren't hiding that they're betting or that their players are betting or that their alumni has told them.
The alumni.
Yeah, most likely.
They have a great relationship with them boosters, and you know they meet, and they got their little appetizers, and they go, hey, you're going to cover for me this weekend, right?
Yep.
That's for real, that messed the game up because 5-star, it's the same situation. Like last night in the Atlanta game, it's, man, in certain situations and certain things that should have happened for Atlanta to win that game. That's just what it is. Like, and you guys, we watch this with our eyes. We see it all the time. And, you know, we be puzzled, but they doing that to us. But, hey, it make it fun. It's a right side and the wrong side.
It's a right and the wrong side. That's the great thing about betting sports. Well, it's the only thing that I do. I don't play blackjack. I don't play roulette. I don't play baccarat. I don't play any of those games. You know, I don't play poker. I heard there's some advantages in poker because you're playing other customers instead of playing against the casino. But I don't even know the rules to it because I didn't need any other vices in my life. So I just stuck to what I know, and that's sports betting because it's a coin flip. It's 50-50. You're either going to win or you're going to lose, and we were on the right side on that one. But overall, as far as the game, just Texas State, really good team. G.J. Henny, like I say, he coached that game really weird. They were pressing and pressing on the first half. That's why we took the first half -7 and for a smaller play, the 13.5. They covered that pretty easy, but it made no sense how he worked the clock at the end, man. It was real shady, man. You let the clock run down to 30 seconds running the ball, and then the last play, you're going to take a a shot, you know, on the team instead of just taking a knee. Really disrespectful. I'm sure Troy's coach didn't like that too much.
I didn't like it. The betters didn't like it. The underbetters didn't like it. Yeah. Made my heart bust.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, you guys ready to move on? Because we have a lot of football to talk about.
Man, I can't wait. Weekend. Let's talk about the present. 55 days start today. Yeah,
all right. All right, you're going to have to help me out here. Originally looking at the schedule, five-star, I would think, hey, it's going to be a pretty good game. But it's a 24-point spread, well, 23-half, to be honest. Michigan State Spartans, man, how the mighty have fallen. But they haven't been good since they lost Kenneth Walker. What's going on? Do you think they have a chance to cover when they're taking on Oregon?
Oh, yeah, this is a big one. This is a 5% play for me. I'm rolling with Michigan State. Those are way too many points. That's an official play. You guys can play it. You can follow me. You can put it on my tally. I'm just not fading Jonathan Smith going to Oregon, a team that he hates, a university that he hates, being an alumni from Oregon State, being the ex-quarterback there, just recently leaving and still having his staff there. His defensive coordinator is the Oregon State coach right now today. And you know what? Oregon hasn't covered any games this year. I guess it's the only game that they covered, Oregon State. That's the only game that they jumped the points on, man. So we broke it down a little bit on Wednesday on why, but just to keep it short, keep it simple, I just think that Jonathan Smith is too good of a coach. And another key factor to remember on this game, Michigan State is coming in off two losses, and Oregon has a big-time look ahead. Next week, they have the game of the season. They got Ohio State coming into Eugene. I don't think in the second half they're going to be trying to cover any spreads or worried about that. They're going to be trying to get out of their healthy and be prepared for the Buckeyes coming to town. So I'm all over Michigan State plus 23.5. I call plus 24, but I think 23.5 is good as well. This will be a good game.
So, you know, when he said 5%, I just put this wager in right now. Did I make a mistake? Do you agree? Are you on Michigan State here?
I last show I said we're gonna sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
So yeah, plus 10.58.
Yeah, Encino don't never say that. Never. So when Encino say something like that, you better take a shot. But I think 5-star definitely on the right side. That's too many points. And usually my handicap, and that's what I do, I go the week before the week that's coming up, and they got a big game. They're not focusing on this. They probably think they're gonna play down to their level. They're gonna play down to Michigan, to Michigan State's, you know, to level. They're going to play down to the competition. They ain't going to get blasted. Simple as that.
All right. Well, I love some Friday night college football, and I know they for years they would stay away because of the high schools, but football's so big now, they don't even care. They're still filling up their stadiums down in Texas for the high school games, regardless of whether or not Michigan State is taking on Oregon. Let's move to another one in your backyard there, 5-star UNLV, and they're going to be starting a new man at quarterback. How's that going to look?
The way it looked last week, Haj Malik Williams is a baller. I don't know what the hell Barry Odom was doing allowing Matt Sluka to be the quarterback. I don't like when coaches do that type of stuff. Like, play the guy who best serves the team, not the guy who you're close to. I don't like that, you know, you getting your personal feelings involved. I just made a tweet about logic is always greater than emotions, man. Don't get in your feelings, you know. Move with your mind and you're going to go far in life, man. And I don't know what he was doing, but how things worked out for him, he invested in a guy who was more worried about getting paid because he saw coming to UNLV as a check. He's from Holy Cross, probably a one-star recruit coming out of high school. So Sluka was just trying to get paid. The whole time he has Haj Malik Williams on the bench, who's the all-time passing leader at Campbell. All types of experience. A better dual threat than Sluka could ever be. Throws better than Sluka. Ricky White is so happy, the star wide receiver for UNLV. You saw he went crazy last week. He hasn't been getting any balls. He was so happy he wouldn't block the punt. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I'm finally catching the ball. I'll go block a punt too. So give me UNLV in this game, man. I don't think the Syracuse is that good of a team. I think that they're overrated. The line has flew up from 4 to 6, but remember this. First road game of the season for Syracuse, and their first road game was in Las Vegas. Come on, man, these kids. You don't think that they got out a little bit? You think they was keeping curfew? They haven't played a lot of good teams this year. They really got smacked around by Stanford physically. Stanford handled them on the line. I think UNLV does the same. UNLV is a really good team, underrated, and they have a really good chance of making it to the playoffs.
Cino, are you going to join in?
Nope. Told him that last show. Nope, I'm not.
Why not?
I don't know, man. The Rebels, like I say, they facing one of the best passing offenses in the nation. And five-star, Syracuse might not look like a powerhouse, you know, seven a lot. And they got a lot of ground to make up. Like I said, they lost to Stanford, and they only got one ranked opponent after this. They have to show up. They got to do, you know, what they have to do. And
you want to be too good a team for your first road game, man. This is their first road game.
Okay, this is going to be one of them games. Well, look, this is how I'm going to do it. We're going to make Syracuse the official play. That's not no league.
Love it. And my official play is UNLV minus six.
Hold on. See, he got minus six right here. I'm seeing 6.5. Buy it up to seven.
Six. I got six right now on six everywhere bookmaker. In the world. Let me check. I'll check that online. Six eight. On both bookmaker and BetOnline.
It's five. So you can find a five. There's some fives out there, too.
Wait. This
yeah,
thing
must five. Get your ass on the other side and get what you're looking for.
Hold on, bro, because I need my full touchdown.
Yeah, six is a touchdown.
All right, cool. We good. We taking a six. Six minus 110. Let's go.
All right, so some of y'all ride with Zeno. The smart people ride with five star.
This should be a fun group chat tonight. Let's move on to Saturday. Missouri is catching 2.5, heading down to Texas A&M. Five star, I tell you, every time I watch Texas A&M play at home, I'm just amazed at how many people they fit in that stadium. Yeah. And I start thinking, where do they park all the cars? Anyway, Tell me about that game down there. Is that, you know, it's like Michigan with how many people they got in there. Definitely a home field advantage for Texas A&M.
I always have a soft place for Texas A&M, man. Rest in peace, my partner Peter Simeon, man. I used to call him PJ, man. We used to go to Texas A&M. I've told you that before on the show. Every time I see A&M, especially when you talk about a home game, I think about him because he passed tragically and unexpectedly, man. He had a car accident, unfortunately, coming from the club a couple years ago, man, and died at a young age. PJ used to take me to A&M, man. There's no environment like it. The bonfires down there, the fans, the girls out there in their cowboy boots looking good. They're going to be really wired up. Missouri is undefeated. They're a really good team, man. But they had a letdown last week. They actually haven't looked good all season. They haven't lived up to the hype. Maybe the guy transferring to Georgia was a big deal for them, losing him. I do like Texas A&M's defense. I do like their coach, Mike Elko. Think that they're going to be fired up for Missouri pulling up in town. Everything's changed for A&M the moment they put Marcel Reed in as the quarterback. He protects the ball. He's the coach's son. Plays really smart, and he's been able to give the team just enough offensively to get over and get by. I'd probably be looking toward the total on this one, probably under, but if I leaned aside, it'd definitely be A&M at home.
Are you jumping in on this one, Cino?
Man, five star, you know how I like about the unders. I feel the same exact way, but A&M at home minus 2.5, I don't know. It's a huge step up in the road game at this venue, and A&M, you know, the ability to convert in the red zone should be a huge improvement to step up in this game and do what they have to do. And they're going to have the crowd behind them, man. It's a small line, five-star. Usually be on the other side with them 2.5, but five-star like it. I love it. Let's go. We ride Texas A&M.
I think the home field advantage is enough to get them over the top. I just haven't liked what I saw in Missouri, man. I watched their whole game against Vanderbilt last weekend. You know, sometimes the hype's a little bit too much for some of these kids who weren't expecting it. And that goes for their quarterback. I don't think that he was expecting, you know, coming into Missouri being the guy like he's being looked at. And he hasn't lived up to it this year because he had a really good season last year. But this year, man, they don't look too motivated. And I think that it's really tough going into Aggieland trying to win, especially with that Texas A&M defense.
All right. Georgia's going to look to bounce back after that tough loss against Alabama last weekend. Do you think they're going to make a statement against Auburn? Or can the Tigers keep it close, five-star?
The Tigers have played them pretty close over the years, but Hugh Freeze is the coach. You guys know what I think about Hugh Freeze. I think that he's an idiot. And Peyton Thorne is now the quarterback again, so they're shuffling quarterbacks. We were talking about we won a lot of money when Kenneth Walker was at Michigan State. Peyton Thorne was the quarterback, and he looked a lot different there with Jaden Reed and Kenneth Walker, you know, than he does now with Auburn with that silly play calling that Hugh Freeze is running over there. This is a get right spot for Georgia. I don't know if I'm going to bet. I think I saw 21.5 some places now, but if I was to play this game, it'll definitely be on Georgia just because this is a spot where Kirby Smart needs to show the committee and things like that, that they're still one of the best teams in the country, you know? So I think that they'll try to dominate Auburn, but I must admit, this isn't the Georgia team we've seen in the last 2 years. They aren't as strong.
What do you think, Cino?
It's 5-star all the way. I couldn't have said it even better. Like he said, it's a get-right spot, and I love these type of spots. Carson Beck, his draft just plummeted. Like, you know that big time. So they have to step up. And this is not a game where they can only win by a touchdown, two touchdowns. Nope, they got to win by 34 or more. So later points, it's a blowout. I'm playing this one too. We're taking Georgia with the points. They have to step up after the performance they did last year. And with 17 did to them, I definitely think the defense, they're not going to be playing like that.
All right, let's move on to Sunday. The National Football League begins. These international games, I think they're all right. I think they're tough to handicap sometimes. The Vikings are laying 2.5. They're taking on the New York Jets. Of course, the New York Jets coming off that 10-9 loss over the Denver Broncos, where they struggled with the Denver Broncos pass rush. And I think the Minnesota Vikings do a better, even better job of disguising their blitzes and getting pressure on that quarterback. Do you think that the Broncos made a blueprint there for slowing down the Jets, or do you think the Jets get right overseas? What do you think, 5-star?
Jets can't get right. How can you get right when you have Robert Saleh and Nate Hackett making the speeches to the team? No one's hearing what they're talking about, man. Like, they aren't the right dudes to be leading an NFL team. I think that they're both coordinators, but I'd probably make Hackett like a quarterback coach at the most. He wouldn't be calling any plays for me. You see the complaints are coming in from Garrett Wilson, from Aaron Rodgers about how vanilla the play calls are. We've seen this before with Aaron Rodgers. If he's unhappy, he can really become a cancer in the locker room, and I think that's going on with the Jets because I have a feeling he's pulling those young guys by the shoulder and telling them, hey, guys, it's us. We can't trust these guys. I'm going to get them out here next year. We're going to do something different next year. We're going to bring some competent coaching in here, man, because I just don't like that staff. Now they're going against the best staff in football with Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell. They're going against a team who blitzes at the second highest rate in the league and has the most sacks in the league with 17 against that young offensive line for the Jets who couldn't block the Broncos. And we know the Broncos have a good defense this year, so I'm not saying that they aren't good, but they aren't in the Vikings' level of playing defense, bro. They're trying to put this game out here to make you overthink it. I'm not. It's football on this one for me. Call me square. We're going to be with the public on this one. Everybody on the public, let's eat. We're going with the Vikings early in the morning, beating the hell out the Jets. Wow. I think the Vikings definitely cover the 3. I'm on the Vikings. I'm not doing that numbers shit. I'm hitting football.
Cino, it's tough to take Sam Darnold over Aaron Rodgers.
And I gave it out, Cino, on the radio, too. Vikings money line. So you guys take it here, too. My clients, we already been putting in. Vikings money line. Easy money. Easy money.
Bro, where you at?
The Vikings pass defense been kind of shaky, bro.
No, they haven't. They just had a bad second half against the Packers, who are the best passing team probably in the league. Okay. What are you talking about? And look, they didn't. Did you see the first half of the Packers game?
I did. And then guess what the defense did after they made adjustments?
They throttled down, man. They got tired. Right. This ain't the damn Packers, bro. Right. It's the Jets.
All right, you're right. It's the Jets. And watch, Aaron Rodgers about to have the biggest game so far that he had this season. And that's what they want y'all to think. He about to get them people their first loss. And now everybody's saying, yeah, defense this, defense that. Watch. He about
Vikings
to watch
this money line, man.
All right, cool. Go ahead. I'm on the other side. We playing that too. New York Jets money line.
Vikings money line.
Watch. We about to have fun this show.
Go ahead. Yeah, we about to have fun on this one. I ain't trying to be smart. I'm just trying to be a football.
Nah, watch, bro. Just watch. Okay. This one of my biggest plays too.
If I'm jumping in the tiebreaker, I hate to say it, but I think Matt LaFleur is going to make adjustments way better than what Nate.
Come on, man. What is wrong with this man? He's doing that book shit. He didn't work at the book too long, Cino.
Man, this about to be
working at the book too long, man. You've been working at the book too long, man. They always get y'all, but they're trying to overthink it and be so smart. I'm so smart. They have to only be putting this 2.5 out here. Because
I'm with Vince McMahon. I'm thinking something. I'm way different, bro. They need Aaron Rodgers to win this game.
How can you honestly say, by football terms, watching the Vikings staff against the Jets staff and the Vikings team against the Jets team without you thinking it's gonna be some cheating shit? And like out of football, just tell me what finds, because you know how I am, Cino. I always told you. Now, we don't mind looking at the market. The market is very you know, part of your handicap. You want to see where the money's at, what people are doing. But if the football doesn't go with it, it's not a bet. It's just not a bet because the football's not going with it, man. It doesn't matter. People who bet on strictly fading the public are broke. We can look across the world at sports bets. I know you guys all, everybody know though, you worked in the book forever. How many guys you know, all they did was come in and try to fade the public every day on every game, and what happened? They left Vegas.
You ain't coming back with no tickets.
Yeah, you gotta do both. I'm not trying to talk you off your bed because I know you know what you're doing. So you obviously see something, but I just want you to tell me so I can see.
Bro, you know I'm riding this, especially after what they, bro, you seen what they did to the 49ers.
Right.
You seen the spread on that game. You just seen how Aaron Rodgers played last week against Denver. They lost, right?
Right.
So you really think they about to travel way across this across seas and go?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connor don't care
free
what
royal Vegas play. Needs. Jets plus 2.5. Free royal play. Jets plus 2.5. Watch. Oh,
spread.
Man.
Spread. When is the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers look good as a quarterback?
Two years ago.
It wasn't last year at Green Bay.
All right.
He's been asked for a second now, man.
And
stop
Sauce
it.
Gardner, bro, Sauce Gardner got to step up too. He's going to be holding
Sauce Gardner.
He got to step up, bro. These players that have to step up, they're professional players. In a game like this, all right, you go.
You know why the Jets aren't going to cover?
Right.
You know?
Man, y'all going to make me get up just to see who's right. I was planning on watching this at halftime. Nah, y'all going to have me up
you know
six
you
in the morning.
You know you want to bet the Vikings spread. You're not an idiot. You know better than that.
Well, I did put the Vikings
go,
in. But.
Go bet. Go, yeah, go. All right, cool. So that's two against
bet on the Vikings, man. Bet on the Vikings spread.
Hey, watch me
you
and all
better
my
than that, man. Stop play, it, man. And I'm team on the mission, man. They're not losing to the sorry-ass Jets. The Jets are going to have money on them regardless. Okay. Even though it's saying that the public's only betting a small percentage on them, those are $10, $12, $15, $20 tickets. You
bro,
know what those
Aaron
do?
Rodgers. Bro,
have you seen
Aaron
who
Rodgers.
The real fan base of the Jets is? It's right. A bunch of Jewish guys from New York, and they're really rich. They're all from Kew Gardens. I know because I used to run around in New York. All the Jets and Mets fans are rich. They're all from the Kew Gardens area. They're from Jamaica, Queens, Hollis, Queens. And they're going to bet the Jets every week. So even though it's going to be a bigger ticket count on Minnesota, believe me, it's a lot of money still going to be on the Jets.
All right. Let's. We'll see who's right on that one. You guys are going to have me getting up early. Unbelievable.
I love it, man. We got some debating going on.
Yeah, this is a good show today. The Buffalo Bills are heading down to Houston. I do not think you guys will debate on this one, however. I've seen a lot of love for the Bills here. I honestly do not know how to approach this game. Talk to me about what you're going to do with this one, Five Star.
Man, this is one. Oh, man. This is one that's really tight because you got Buffalo that's coming off an embarrassing loss. Josh Allen was a really good quarterback. You got Texas who are surviving, but they aren't covering. Sooner or later, the narrative of them not covering has to change. I talked with Jay Money about this. We got two coordinators who or think they're too smart. So who's going to keep it simple, stupid? That's just who's going to win because Joe Brady's over there running that dumb shit and almost got Josh Allen hurt against the Ravens when they were making a comeback. And then we got Bobby Slowick who's just destroying C.J. Stroud this year with just making him think too much. Just let him play ball, man. So it's a funny game. I do like the Texans defense slightly more than the Bills defense. I think that the Bills defense is performed well because Sean McDermott is, you know, that's his side of the ball. His calling card is defense, so he knows how to put a group together. But they will be without Von Miller. So that's one thing to look at. The defensive backs are weak. So if the Texans decide to throw the ball, you think the Bills are going to be able to stop them. So I'd probably lean the Texans on this game. It's not an official play, but I'd probably lean the Texans on this one.
Yeah, I'm not getting involved either. But if you're backing the Bills, you just got to beware. Not only Von Miller out, Five Star, but Khalil Shakir and Ed Oliver missing as well.
Oh,
and you talked
Lord,
about
no,
how that pass rush
huge.
Matters.
Yeah, that's huge, Britt.
On the other side, however, Sino, Joe Mixon will be missing the game. Cam Akers coming back, man. How many times have we seen this guy fail to do things? So both teams suffering some injuries here. Are you getting involved with the Bills and the Texans, Sino?
Yep, especially what happened to the Bills, how Five Star said they were supposed to win that. I love these type of spots in the Buffalo. They're run first teams. The Texans, they're allowing, 4 or 5 yards per carry, something like that. I think James Cook and Josh Allen will do what they need to do to open up that playbook and get the win. I'm with Buffalo Bills on this one. I'm giving y'all all my official plays. I might as well say
the VIP card. God damn.
All right. Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that. Ceno liking the Buffalo Bills to get it done in spite of missing a couple key players there. With the aforementioned Baltimore Ravens, who put the smack down on the Buffalo Bills last week, are now liking to build on that momentum. However, we do know that was kind of a tough matchup there for Buffalo. They do struggle stopping the run, and that's what the Ravens were able to do. Maybe they get another opportunity here. That's so many injuries on their defensive line. They're not the same defense, or the Bengals, they're not the same defense that we are used to. Do you think Derrick Henry and the Ravens run them all over again, or is this a Joe Burrow get-back situation?
Man, the books are telling you to take Cincinnati, but I think this is going to be a square week, man. Once again, when I look at these games, I try to find paths to victory. You know, I understand that, you know, the market is saying one thing, but Baltimore can't really lose any more games if they're going to win that division. They've already lost two, and the Raiders game especially was one that they gave away that they have to make back up for. Lead the league in yards per play. Lead the league in most yards on offense. Right now, they're unstoppable offense. And the thing about them is they do keep it simple, stupid. They hand the ball to Derrick Henry. They pull it out as good and let Lamar run around that corner and make something happen. And they drop back with Lamar and let him hit big-time players like Isaiah Likely. So I like Baltimore in this game just off football alone. I don't see a path to victory for Cincinnati except throwing the ball. So maybe it goes over because Baltimore has been weak against the pass, and we know that Cincinnati can throw the ball. But when it comes down to two strong offenses, I always like riding with the team that runs the ball over the team that passes the ball. It's two bad things that can happen when you run the ball. It's three bad things that can happen when you throw it. It's a higher percentage of failure with throwing the ball a lot. And also, running the ball kind of just takes the soul out of the team. When you're just punking them on the line and, you know, doing what you want to do to them, Cincinnati hasn't stopped anyone. They're the worst defense against the run in the league, so I don't know how they're going to get the Ravens off the field. I don't know, but I definitely lean Baltimore on this one. It's not an official play, but if I make a play, it'll be on the Ravens' money line.
So, you know, my projection is like Baltimore, but I didn't want to bet against Joe Burrow. I have not placed a bet on this game. Have you?
Bing, bing. Well, five star on the right side again. Look, I actually tagged five star in this. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry were standing on side of each other. Derrick told Lamar, man, bro, you good, man. You great. He said, nah, we great. And when teammates have that type of energy, you know, that type of attitude with each other, how could you bet against that? Like, and from the past performances I've seen from the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't think, and they banged up too. I think they four of the front seven hurt on the defense side.
Yeah, that's been the thing. It's not like
I don't think
they tried to come in with this roster.
I don't think they stand a chance, man. And the way they've been running the ball and controlling the clock, the Ravens, is about to be just how they did the Bills. I talked a lot of shit about this team. I think they finally got it. They got it clicked. I think the Ravens play. That's another.
Right. If you guys are right, Bengals are going to have a hard time making the playoffs. That's going to be a big.
I don't think they make it this year, man. Too much stuff going on. We already see that Jamar is not happy, and we see that Burrow's went Hollywood. So, I don't think T. Higgins. When have we seen T. Higgins? You know, with this low amount of usage, he's not being used really. They don't have a running back. Chase Brown's all right, but he's too small. You know, we've seen the other running back everywhere, Zach Moss, and he's just a running back. He's, you know, very replaceable. They're missing Joe Mixon, man. He brought that physicality to that team. As you said, Luana Rumo is a really good DC, but he doesn't have anything to work with right now. Cincinnati is depleted on defense, and Baltimore is just rolling. It'll be different if Baltimore was undefeated or something coming into this game, but with them having those two losses, man, they're going to be focused because they're trying to get into the dance. And I'm not going to lie, early, I think that the Ravens, in my opinion, have looked like the most impressive team, even though they have two losses.
Another team that's looked impressive is the Green Bay Packers. I know they did fall short against the Minnesota Vikings last week, but you have to like their ability to win with their backup quarterback. And even with wide receivers jumping in and out of the lineup, the offense has still been potent. Now they travel down to Los Angeles. They'll probably have the cheering advantage in the stands because we know that the Rams and the Chargers don't have many fans that show up to SoFi Stadium here. It seems easy, five-star, but my projection is like the Packers to cover against the Rams.
I'm not overthinking this week. It's some really good games for better to jump on and pound, man. You can't be afraid thinking about, oh, they're trying to trick me. Sometimes it's just football. And the Packers are coming off a loss, bro. And once again, in the same situation like the Ravens, they can't afford to lose too many more games, bro. They're going to be out of the playoff mix. Jordan Love was getting his feet back on them. You saw what he did to the best defense in football in the second half when they made those adjustments. Matt LaFleur is special. Jordan Love is special. I'm going to give you some key numbers. The offense for the Green Bay Packers are third in the league in total yards. Guess what the Rams are on defense in total yards? Last in the league.
I'm about to say last.
Yeah, yards per play, the Packers are third. Guess what the Rams are? Last in the league in yards per play defensively allowed. Guess what the Packers are rushing the ball? We know they don't have a running quarterback like how Baltimore is, because Baltimore's numbers are kind of skewed because Lamar runs so much. Jordan Love is handing off the ball. They're second in the league in rushing yards. Guess who's last in stopping the run? The Rams. So, I don't, Matt Stafford, if he had Cooper Kupp there, is Cooper Kupp playing?
No.
See, if he don't have Kupp, he don't have.
He got DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, he don't got DeMarcus Robinson. The cool is out. We on the Packers. I'm sure you agree with me, Cino, right? We're going
to
pile now.
Bro, I'd be a fool not to. The last two plays, I definitely agree with you. Bro, Matt Stafford been running around for his life back there.
Yeah,
like, this team, bro, they in trouble. Like he said on this one, I don't overthink. Man, you probably can play an outspread on this one, like 5.5 or even maybe.
Yeah, I like that too.
For real, man. Yeah. And add another stat, like you said, well, another number of the Rams, they 24th in the NFL turnover margin. So you got, that's 32 teams. You got,
and guess who's number one in interceptions? The Packers. So it doesn't look good for them. Only thing I like for the Rams this game is Kyron Williams scoring a touchdown.
Just keep betting that.
Just keep betting that, and we're going to bet the Packers -3. You should be good. Perfect just situation for the Packers. They need a win coming off a disappointing loss at home. And we know that this is going to be a great trip for the Cheeseheads. This is a big trip for their fan base. They're going to take over that stadium at SoFi, man. It's going to be a home game for the Packers, man.
They will. And again, like I said, last show, my parents are gone to that game. My stepfather, huge Green Bay Packers fan, so we definitely rock the Packers. Matter of fact, man, we should take Packers first half because they're going to come out playing tough. I don't think they're going to fall behind how they did.
I think so, too.
And how they're going to come out playing, you know, in the second half to try to play catch up.
All right, so that's a team play for me and Cino. We said take the Packers first half.
I've already bet that one, but even before the show, I was on the same thing. My projections really like the Packers there. And then I didn't even account for the fact that it's going to be Tutu Atwell and Jordan Whittington starting.
So this is a wavering world play. This is from all three of us, man. We said load up on the Cheeseheads.
And I hope you guys join me on this one because I'm going to fade the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about being able to stop the run. And, you know, right behind them in that standings with the Rams, not being able to stop the run, is the Dallas Cowboys. I think this is going to fit in well for a Steelers team that we know likes to play traditional football. They don't want to put too much on Justin Fields. Although I would say that if I'm a Steelers fan, I have to be encouraged by the way that he was able to bring that team back from behind last week when they fell down behind 14-0. I thought it was over. He was able to move the ball in the air. If it wasn't for a couple crucial fumbles, I think the Steelers would have pulled out that win. So now they're coming off a loss. They've done well traditionally against the NFC, 7-4-1 against the spread in their last 12 against the NFC, and also 3-1 against the spread in their last 4 primetime games. So I like Mike Tomlin to get his team back on track, and we talk about some situations, right? Well, maybe if they're coming off the win, we would be a little hesitant playing against a desperate Cowboys team. But with Micah Parsons out, DeMarcus Lawrence out, I just don't see as good as I think you were talking about Mike Zimmer game passed and a bye. I also think he doesn't have a lot to work with here. So even if I do believe in Zimmer, it's almost like the situation we talked about earlier with the Bengals DC. Not a lot to work with there, even if your schemes are brilliant. So I'm going to be on the Steelers to get things done at home against the Cowboys.
Classic rivalry. You see what I got on. It's black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow over here, man. Justin Fields bounce back. George Pickens bounce back. Antonio Brown will be in the building. I think AB's pulling up, so they're going to be wide out there in Pittsburgh, man. You know, the Cowboys and them, that's one of the longest rivalries in football since the inception of football. So they'll be really, really, really crunk at Heinz Field Sunday night game. You're going to see those terrible tiles waving everywhere, and I think that defense is going to come to play. I think that T.J. Watts introduces himself to Dak Prescott several times, so I'm with you on that one, Spread. We're going with the Steelers.
Yeah, he mentioned CeeDee Lamb, but the problem with this Cowboys offense right now is, I think, is too one-dimensional, and you get a defensive mind like Tomlin where he says, boy, I could just take away this one guy and, you know, hey, let's see if Brandon Cooks, Jake Ferguson, and the ghost of Ezekiel Elliott can beat me. I think that's what they're going to do. So I think this is going to be a tough matchup here for the Cowboys. Where are you at?
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a tough matchup for both teams. So guess what? It's going to be a tough bet. So Ceno not even about to hurt his head and mess with that game. I'm just going to enjoy it, especially after the way I've seen the Cowboys playing. They have to step up. You know, they're already getting inside of the media and stuff like that. Jerry Jones is in that same position every year. He coming to practices flying on helicopters and stuff like that instead of investing in the team. Man, the Cowboys
have you can fly in a helicopter, but when you pay – You pay a guy $60 million, you lose the defensive lineman. You lose Brandon, the offensive lineman.
You got the
worst running back room in the league, except for maybe Vegas.
And that's what I'm saying. You're doing stuff like that.
He's loyal to his guys. He just bought back Zeke. Zeke had a decent year, as we remember. The Patriots right at the end. You remember I tweeted guys that.
No, and it would have been fine if he was the backup. But, I mean.
Right. As a lead back, I told you, I was like, they're going to miss a ride of bringing Zeke Elliott back to Dallas. And what happened? They brought him right back because Dak is.
He should have just been the red zone back, and that's it.
So. Everybody who played for Jared, though, they love him. Like Dez and all those guys, they love Michael Irvin because he's one thing about him. If you ever played for him and you were good and, you know, you gave something to that Dallas brand, he's going to look out for you and he's going to stay down with you. So that's one thing I do respect about him. But also, don't forget, Fred, you said Tomlin. Let's give a little credit to Terrell Austin. Terrell Austin is a hell of a DC over there with the Steelers. Been in the league a long time. Came from the Detroit Lions over there.
All right, we'll definitely give him his credit as well. I'm probably too much of a Tomlin truther there, but those two men are working together. Talk to me about Monday Night Football. Five-star, I think this is a good chance for New Orleans to get the cover. Do you think that's going to be another company game? Because I could see a nice four-point win here for Kansas City. What do you
everybody,
think?
Everybody is on the Saints too much. Everybody really? I talk to wants the Saints. I'm seeing on the market numbers from the different books that it seems all the money is on KC, but every time I hear someone on the media talk, they're saying they want the Saints. So it's a pass for me. I don't bet the Saints games. You know, I like them, and they're my team. And every time I bet them, they let me down. So I'm not messing with it. If the numbers stay how they are, yeah, they can stay in it. But do you really trust Derek Carr, like, against Steve Spagnuolo? It's going to have to be an Alvin Kamara game. If Alvin Kamara is running crazy, he's going crazy on these screens and things like that, taking some pressure off Carr when he only has to complete 10 to 12 balls during the game to, you know, Olave and things like that, they'll be okay. But if it gets to the point where Derek Carr is throwing over 25 times, they're going to lose, bro, because he's going to turn the ball over. As simple as that. And they're not going to cover. So it's a lot of people that's talking about KC doesn't cover, but they've covered now, what is it, 8 out of their last 11 games. So I don't know, man. It's a stay away from me. I'll just be watching. I'll probably go link up with Ceno and ski or something. We go watch somewhere and chill and have a good time.
Ceno, one of the reasons people do like the Saints is because with Rashee Rice out now, we know that Hollywood Brown never even played a regular season snap. It's back to Travis Kelce time there for the Chiefs. And boy, I thought I was old, but he's looking old as well here. I don't know if he's going to be able to carry him. We do like Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator to try and stop this team. The question is, will the Saints be able to get it down on offense? Because if so, I think they can cover. What do you think?
Nope, not covering, and the game gone over. The best play for me in this game is
Don't fall for that shit.
Don't fall for it. Hell nah.
We've been
don't.
Watching the Saints our whole life.
Bro, I watch the Saints every week. That's one of the Hell nah. But definitely bet the over. Like he said, Derek Carr gonna turn it over a lot. The Chiefs haven't been covering much. And in this situation, the Saints ain't shit. Like they about to get this another game. They about to get blasted. The T's are not gonna see the Saints right here. They teasing y'all. So I like the over in this game. I definitely take the over.
All right, Ceno's on the over there, and they're telling me stay away from the New Orleans Saints. Let's go to the people segment, the ball and parlay. Ceno, we'll start with you. You going head-to-head with five-star on the ball and parlay, or are we going to find something we agree on?
Man, I don't know, man. I've been going head-to-head with Big Brother too much.
I think we have enough plays, you know, that we went head-to-head. Man, what I'm going to do for the ball and parlay this week? Matter of fact, let's take the USC total. Just in this situation, I was looking when I was doing my homework. I remember, I think it's like 13-0 against the spread. Definitely. So we're going to ride with that. We're going to ride the USC over 48.5. That's very, very low. Last week, it was like 47 against Michigan, and they blasted that over the second half. So we're riding USC over. That's my ball and parlay this weekend. Look, We're going to put 3 units on that. Play 3 units on that, and then I gave y'all a whole bunch of other plays. So basically, y'all got a free VIP card from Cena.
All right. Thank you for that. Five star, what do you like here when we're looking at the ball and parlay?
The Vikings. I'm going to be the Huckleberry Hound this week. I'm loading up on the Vikings early in the morning in London. I think that the Vikings are a much superior team, and more importantly, they're superiorly coached than these Jets. I'm not betting on any buffoons. Like, simple as that. I'm not betting on buffoons, man. Give me the Vikings on that one. Also, I'm going to take the Packers -3 at the Rams. And then I'm going to give you a little WTH.
You about to have all y'all waking up early in the morning to be mad.
They going to turn over their bed and be so happy, like, five star callers.
Going to be mad.
First bet of the day. Going to go this way.
Negative. Red.
Oh, yeah, bro. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm going to talk so much shit to
you
about this when they get by about 30 points.
The Jets are sorry.
They can't save them. All right, for my other play, I'm going to go with Paula Badosa. We're going to just go first set against Coco. Coco hasn't looked that good, and Paula Badosa has been really dominant. Starbowski just won the first set against Coco. I don't know if Coco's dating somebody or something now. She looks like she's not as focused as she's been in the past. She's getting in that age where, you know, boy problems occur because she's like 19, 20 now. So I'm sure she's dating, you know, really popular girl, has a lot of money, good looking. So something's going on off the court. Whereas in Paula Badosa seems locked in. She's been playing the best tennis of her career lately, and she's been really good on hard courts. She's beaten Coco on hard courts the last two times that they played each other. So give me the first set for Paula Badosa. I don't trust her for the whole game because we know Coco, if she decides to turn it up a little bit, she can come back and win 2-1. Big win by my girl Mahova. That's why I'm tired. I stayed up with her last night, and I had her +145 for the first set, and I had her +600 to win 2-1. I went to sleep and woke up praying before I looked in the app and it was there. And I was like, yes.
2-1, let's go.
That's what's up. 2-1, let's go. So that was a really exciting game. What you got, Spread?
I'm going back to, you can do the morning game, I'll do the evening game. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. I just don't think Dallas can stop the run, and I think the Steelers will take advantage of that.
Nice. So there it is, guys. Hit that like button if you tuned in right now to the Wagering World. Spread disappeared. He must have his cleaning lady over there in the room or something. But see, no, anything for the people before we get out of here?
Nah, man. Again, I appreciate all the interaction, all the likes. Appreciate the love. You know, and we just going to keep trying to produce these winners and, you know, giving y'all the best show possible. We're doing it for my dog, Kingston. And we be back Monday.
Yes, sir. We'll be back on Monday, guys. It's always good for you to tune in. We appreciate it. We appreciate all the likes, all the comments. Continue to hit that like button. Continue to subscribe. Tell your friends about the Wagering World. Send them a link. We're giving out some of the best information in sports betting. Those who are part of this understand that and know that. Let's spread the show. Let's get more bettors involved. Spread, you're back. Okay, I was asking you if there's anything for the people before we get out of here.
Man, I'm excited for this weekend, and I can't wait to see who gets the bragging rights in the couple games y'all disagreed on. That makes the show a little more fun. We got a little more stake. Sometimes on those, it's more than the money. You just want to be right.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, we owe some first take stuff this morning.
So. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Baylor's going to be happy.
But I ain't Stephen A. That's what I can tell you. But hey, man, so hey, once again, guys, we appreciate everyone who's here with us. This is organic, and it's a beautiful thing watching it grow. As always, I dedicate this show to my father, greatest Houston sports fan that I know, and that's John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. This is the Wagering World. We'll see you on Monday.